Good morning. How you guys doing? I know a lot of you guys have been sick lately. And in fact, Kate, you're looking a little better today.
Thank you, Paul. I've been a little sick, but today woke up, I feel great. Power of sleep. Sleep and lots of fluids, guys.
Yes.
It's the truth.
That's true. Hey, when you were sick, did you watch TV or anything?
I'm not really a big TV watcher, so really didn't watch too much TV.
Okay. I like to watch a little TV. When I do, some of the channels I like to watch are TV Land. Anybody? Yeah? Okay. Hey, oldies. And one of my favorite shows on TV Land is The Brady Bunch. Okay? Come on. Come out of the closet, you Brady Bunch fans. Right? Do I got some here? All right, Dano. Yeah, Brady Bunch. I love it. In fact, I love the theme song.
Do you, Paul?
And you guys know it, don't you? Okay, here's a story of a love. Come on. Who was bringing up three very lovely girls? All of them had hair of gold, like their mother.
Oh, here we go.
The youngest one.
Yep, picking up steam.
Here's a story of a man named Brady, who was busy with three boys of his own. All of them. Hold on. Oh, now that you threw it off. All of them. Come on.
They were all alone.
No. They were four men.
Living all together.
But they were all alone. Till that one day when this lady met this fellow. And they knew that it was much more than a hunch. That this group meant somehow form a family. That's the way we all became the Brady Bunch. The Brady Bunch. The Brady. That's the way we became the Brady Bunch. Yes. I love it.
Paul, and it's been great. It's been great because this has
Let's go home. Chapel's done. That was sweet.
You know, we've got a lot in common, and what we're learning is we both had a love of the Brady Bunch. I love that show.
I did not know that. What did you like about the Brady Bunch?
Well, Paul, I don't know. I just loved... I honestly don't know what I loved about it, but I was addicted to it. I saw every episode when they made the House of Cards. I always thought, I can maybe make a House of Cards.
Nice.
Peter makes the volcano. You know, I'm like, I can maybe...
When they went to Hawaii.
Yeah. That was a great one. I totally remember that one.
Yeah.
I forgot about that one.
And then when they went to Grand Canyons, brought Alice with them.
Oh,
I think they left Tiger at home.
Yeah, okay. Definitely. Great.
Let's move on.
Great show. Moving on. Brady Bunch.
Okay. So.
All right, it's got that stupid theme song in my head now. But I'm wondering, Paul, you know, obviously Brady Bunch was before my time even. So it was before these people's time. But it keeps going. Why do you think it's had so much success?
I know, it's amazing as we start singing the song, how many of
you
know it, you've seen it, and how many people can identify the Brady Bunch right away. Which I've never thought about this, but I wonder if a lot of people watched The Brady Bunch because, and this is just a hunch, and it's probably way off, but I think people watch The Brady Bunch because deep down, don't we all desire to get a vision to know what a functioning family looks like? And maybe for some, even though it's a little cheesy, even for some, The Brady Bunch might represent that. For some people,
a functioning family. I think that's really true because I think there's something in all of us that does long to see a model of a healthy family and family doing things together, going on vacation and whatnot. What I think is more interesting, though, is when we look at the biblical witness, this isn't always see. And often we think of the Bible and treat it as a place to go as kind of a how-to manual. Mm. But if we were going to do that and looking at... for instance, the story of Abraham and Sarah, those 38 chapters and their four generations of family. I mean, it's pretty dysfunctional, and it doesn't read like a G-rated TV show, but more like a soap opera.
Yeah. So, which raises the question, why do you think that story is recorded in the Bible. I mean, if it's so whack of a family, I mean, why is that included? It's not the Brady Bunch,
it's
you know?
Not the
it
Brady
is
Bunch.
Far from the Brady Bunch. But why do you think that that story is recorded in the Bible?
I think one of the reasons the story is in the Bible, that God has it there, is because we need to realize how much family shapes how we are. We've been talking about how family is tricky and family is complicated, and one of the things that's tricky about it is you don't choose your family. You don't have control necessarily of who's in your family. But the one thing you do have control about is how you react and how you relate within your family. Yeah. For instance, in my family, growing up, for whatever reason, communicating feelings wasn't necessarily happened a lot. And so kind of the pattern in my family was that when things, when you had something to communicate or if there was a conflict, you kind of withdrew more. And then for me, I realized and myself saw that, that this would happen, that if something would get a little sticky, I would have a tendency to kind of be silent and withdraw or trying to smooth over, be the peacemaker. And saw this not just in my family, but in other relationships that I had too.
Yeah, yeah. Did that pattern get played out? I mean, you said you saw that when you were younger.
Yeah.
Did that get played out even in years to come?
Definitely in years to come. And honestly, it wasn't until I started looking at this more and doing some hard work of counseling and just working through things that you really start to break free from those patterns.
Yeah, and that whole area of patterns is so true that if we don't take a look at some of the patterns that get developed, they'll just continue to go on and on. And I know we challenged you guys Monday in chapel to read the Abraham-Sarah family tree, which is Genesis 12 through 50. And if you started to do that, it'll be amazing how certain patterns, generational patterns, will begin to come to the surface. I know I've been reading that over again, and three of them, just from that story alone, you know, the pattern of lying and deception that gets over and over throughout those generations in that family. Also, sibling rivalry, and another one that I picked up was the whole thing that each generation had a favorite child, parental favoritism, and how that caused a lot of pain and suffering within those families. And so until those patterns are kind of, we're made aware of those and then addressed, they're going to keep going on and on, which leads me to a story that I heard a couple years ago by the city of Holland's chief of police at that time, a guy named John Kreidoff. And I'll be really quick with the story, but it stayed with me because it was so powerful concerning generational patterns that get handed down. He was talking about when he was a beat cop, when he was younger, he would always get called to the same house for domestic violence. And so he would go there, and he said the scene was the exact same every time he came in. They were in the kitchen, the mother was in the corner all bloodied and beat up, the father was over on this side of the kitchen, and then there was a little boy, they had one little boy, huddled in the corner. And it was that scene that he got called to over and over again. Well, 20 years later, fast forward, he gets called to another house, comes in, almost the exact same scene, comes into a kitchen, the wife's all kind of bloody, beat up in the corner. Here's the father here, and a child standing over here. And all of a sudden, he realizes that this father is the son that he used to visit 20 years ago. Do you catch me? And he said to this son, aren't you the son of so-and-so that I used to come to your house all the time? And when your dad was beating up your mom, and he said, yeah. And he's saying, what is going on with you? And he said, well, when a woman gets out of hand, this is what my dad taught me to do to her. See, those generational patterns get passed down. Until they get broken, they'll go on for generations to come. And that's really important to look at within our own families as well, too.
For sure. Yeah, and like you said, we see that in the biblical witness of these patterns being passed on. But I think the most important reason that God probably has this story in the witness is that it's a story of hope. And it is a story that we see no matter how messed up the family is and how dysfunctional it is, God continually is to promise that in the mess that I'll be present, I'll be there with you. And this line that, talk about repetition, that comes up a lot in this is God remembers. God remembers, that God doesn't forget. And so that ultimately, I mean, this is great news for all of us that God remembers and God is present even in the grossness of it.
Hmm. We've been saying families are complicated, and you know, we've been focusing more maybe on the negative a little, but there's always a lot of positive things our families pass down as well too. But I think for us, as we grow and mature, the biggest thing is to begin to filter what's healthy and what's unhealthy in regards to the influence of families on us and the patterns that have been handed down. And so that's why it's so important that we reflect and take time to really assess what our families look like and the impact they've had on us.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And so if this is the place where you're at and you want to do that more and you're wondering how to start doing that, one thing we're going to encourage you to do is to come Saturday morning to this workshop we're doing on family systems theories, 9:30 to noon, right over there in the newly renovated Graves in Wynetts Hall. And it is going to be a great time of learning and exploration. And hear this, like Paul said, we've been talking a lot of unhealthy patterns, but there are healthy patterns in your family too. This workshop will highlight those, and this workshop will benefit you if you consider, if you think you have a healthy and normal family, that's awesome. But still doing this work now will only benefit you for your future.
So it doesn't mean that if you come to the workshop on Friday, it means you just have a messed up family. Everybody's welcome. Even the Brady Bunch kids could come. Greg, Bobby, Peter,
Marsha,
Jan, and Cindy.
It's true, Paul. Even the Brady Bunch kids could come.
I'll pray with that. Let's pray. Oh, God, thank you for the stories that you include in Scripture that help us to live in such a way by the power of your Holy Spirit that is good and healthy and right. God, we didn't say perfect because none of us are. And so, God, within our own lives and within our own families that you've placed us in, God, continue to do a deeper work in each one of us to understand how we can engage, love, care for our families in such a way that patterns that may have been unhealthy for years will be broken, and that generations to come will experience health and growth and loving kindness within their families to come. So God, this is good work and important work. Give us the courage to live into this and be open to what you want to show us. We pray this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Go in peace.